Hi guys, and welcome to this first episode of the Spark Studio, a podcast that shares people's stories. In this first episode, I received Josephine, a very inspirational woman that I met very briefly, but in the span of 2 days, I felt like I needed to catch her vibe and train of thoughts. So here she is, divulgating her life. We talked about her childhood, her experience in high school, but also how her travels changed her from an early age and pushed her to always question herself and her relations to others. It was a true joy to have her on this podcast, which, by the way, was a first for both of us. So thank you so much again, Jo, and I can't wait to share more moments like this. Without further ado, enjoy and have a good listening. Okay, so Josephine.
Hi.
I don't know, like, how do you pronounce your name in English?
Well, you can Josephine. Say Josephine is fine.
Yeah.
And, well, you can pick the shortcut that you want. If okay. It's Jo, Josie, Josephine, Jo. It's
I like
up to
Jo.
You. Yeah, Jo is Jo. Quite good.
Yeah. So, as a first guest of this podcast, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
So my name is Josephine. I'm French. I was born in Paris. I'm 25 years old. And currently I work in Paris as a project manager for a music label. So I've been doing that for the past 2 years now. And I'm considering like moving back to London next year to live with my sister. So right now I'm in a phase of my life where I just like...
You're questioning.
Yeah, I'm just like asking myself, like, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it? And let's do it, because I feel like before, so you grew up and everything, you just tick boxes, so you go to college
exactly.
And everything.
It's
and
like a step-by-step
yeah,
process.
Yeah, and now you're arriving in like, so you lived the first half of your life, right? Just realizing that maybe you did something because people wanted you to do it rather than just asking yourself if you were really up for it at the time. And now, like that, I see that actually,
all
like,
the opportunities.
Yeah, all the opportunities.
Yeah,
just like I'm trying to find how I can, like, I can feel it, like, it's so weird.
Fulfill yourself as a person, like, but also in your career.
Like, I feel this urge, like, to maybe accomplish thing and just to prove to myself that I can do what I want and that I have, like, skills, talents, and I'm just trying to find a way to harness all that energy and like just like put it in something concrete, something that I can be proud of, and so I have a lot of my plate right now.
And 25 years old, I mean, you're still young, so
but it's, I don't know, like, it's really weird for me because everyone is like telling you how to do it, and then you arrive at this phases where you don't really know what the guidebook is anymore. Like,
exactly.
You can either, like, I don't know, like, get married, have kids, or travel the world, or it really depends on what you define as success. But at the same time, you kind of feel pressure of how you should be, what you should do, especially, I feel like, as a woman.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, we live in a crazy world, so sometimes... I don't know, it's just, like, a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, totally.
And... yeah, but at the same time, I think it's like interesting time because then
it's evolving. Like right now, people are talking more and more about like women power, you know. But I just want to take a step back.
Yeah.
So and kind of like learn more about how like you were as a child.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the firstborn. I have one sister and one brother. So because I think it's important, like it like kind of defined me as a child. So yeah, so I grew up in a happy family. I was very like impatient kid. I always wanted to play, to run. I always would drag my sister with me in all the
bookshelves.
Adventures and stuff. And I feel like I was, of course, I think I was like every little girl, like I was like amazed by princesses and everything. But at the same time, I remember like my favorite princess was Mulan.
Oh, so she was basically
a warrior, you know.
Yeah, and replacing her father, Julie's.
Yeah. I also was a kid who, and I still do that, like I love to read. Like I read a lot. I started reading Harry Potter when I was 7 or 8, okay, I think. Yeah. And I actually remember my mom, like, actually, like, she would buy me a book and she was like, don't read too fast or I won't buy you another one. So I was, yeah.
Because, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sure some, like, other parents are struggling just to get a book in their children's
hands. No, I read a lot of, like, books that were mostly about, about girls that were either, like, soldiers, warriors, like, heroic fantasy stuff, like, so... Yeah, I kind of identify myself as an adventurer, like just someone who just pursued their dream and get action. And I lived in different cities when I was a kid, so that was also I think something that shaped my personality. So I was born in Paris. I lived in Paris until I was 10. Then my parents decided to move out from Paris to go to the suburbs because they just wanted a change and have a garden.
So you can like have more adventures.
Yeah. And that was crazy. Like having a garden for me and my little sister, Alice, like it was just like we'd like spend hours. And it's like this, when you're a kid, it's like amazing because you just... manage to portray things outside of your head and it's something your imagination, it's something that you kind of lose over the years.
It's crazy, but like, it's like you're losing your innocence and creativity. And
but I just remember, yeah, we're just like making up all these games and it was crazy.
Stories.
Yeah, so I started like in a new school and that was a bit difficult for me because...
How old were you?
I was 10. Oh, and so, like, the first
you
year...
You lost all your friends.
Yeah, I don't know, like, people were nice, but at the same time, like, I didn't really, like, have a solid group of friends. And in the second year, like, so last year, the last year of my primary school, I kind of got bullied by this group of girls. And I was so desperate at the time because I just wanted to belong. I just wanted to be part of a group. So I was kind of, like... ready to do anything just to belong, and it took me years then to
understand in the wrong, like,
exactly. Yeah. So I was so focused on being accepted. People would think about me and how they would see me and everything, and so so that was kind of harsh.
Why do you remember why they would like bully you?
I don't know, because this was like, you know, this group of like 5-6 girls, and there were like two that were like chief or something.
Oh yeah,
I don't know. It was just like their like mean girls. Like it's just like, I don't know. It was their thing, like to be in the position of force and just manipulate people. And we were like doing it, so there was no reason for them maybe to stop doing it. I don't know, but it was only like for a year. But yeah, that was kind of harsh. And then,
you stopped completely.
Yeah, no, then after I met new people, it was okay. But still, I was like unlearning all these like habits of always like looking
trying
out.
Trying to build your confidence.
Yeah. And then when I was 15, my dad decided to take a job in South Asia. Ooh. He decided to move to South Korea. So
he likes adventures as well.
Yeah. So my mom, like, they broke a deal together because she was working also at the time. So she told him, okay, I'm going to follow you. We're going to take the girls. But I'm going to stop working, but it's only going to be for 2 years. So we go to Seoul for 2 years, and then we go back to Paris.
Whoa.
And I was 15 at the time, and it was a huge change for me. Like, really, like, unexpected. I really remember the day when, like, they took us, like, they sat us down in the kitchen, and they were like, okay, girls, we have something to tell you. And, like, my sister was like, oh, my God, she's pregnant and everything.
Oh.
And they were like, no, that's all what we expected. And we're like, okay, so we are going to move from France. So for us, with my sister, I think we were like wishing, like, okay, maybe London, maybe New York, or something very glamorous,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And then they were like, in Asia. So that was really far from us, in South Korea. And at the time, so it was like in 2008, I think.
Okay.
At that time, South Korea was not as trendy as it be. It is today.
Yeah.
It was still like a bit of unknown, and people didn't really know stuff about this country. Yeah. So anyway, so we left, and that was a huge, like change for me, but in a positive way, because like it enabled me to completely like
take some distance.
Yeah, take some distance, broaden my mind. I met extraordinary people that didn't judge me
for my clothes.
Yeah, completely a new beginning, and completely like shifted the opportunities and the way I was seeing like people, the world, amazing opportunity.
And it's a totally different culture.
Yeah.
So how did you deal with that, like the change,
shift? Well, it was fascinating. I got to learn English, so that was like really great. And then, well, Asia is fascinating because it's so different the way like they see their society is built.
Yeah.
The way that people act upon another, the relationship are really structured compared to us. So, for example, in Korean, you have different ways of speaking Korean. If you speak to someone that is older than you, then you have to have a certain language and call him like a senior, junior. But it's also a country that has a history that is very a bit sad.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can explain why Korean people are very like proud of their country, and it's always something that is like getting into conversation. So you do something for yourself, but primarily for your family and for your country, because so there was a war, right?
Yeah, in
1953, so Seoul was completely like
demolished.
Split, and before that Japanese also invaded Korea, and it was very harsh. They made people like, they gave people new name. It was forbidden to speak Korean.
Censorship. Yeah. Was like all of this.
So right now it's really like a pride for Korean to like actually like get their country known for its economy, for its culture. And it's really important for them like to be on the map of Asia, to be a strong player and to distance themselves from China or other Japan, who are the two big players in Asia.
Exactly.
But anyway, so yeah, so that was like crazy.
And you stayed there for 2 years.
For 2 years,
okay.
Yeah.
How was the? When you got back in France.
A bit weird actually, because
you were 15. You were like a teenager, like building yourself.
Yeah,
you know? It's like a very important like period in someone's life. So
no, but it was a bit weird because I was very excited to go back to France to see my friends and everything. And then when I got back to France, so I decided to go to a public high school because I had I had like friends from primary school that went there.
So I'm just gonna go there
and not go back to the private school I was before. Yeah. So no, going back to France was really weird because I decided to go to a new school, and what you have to understand is that back in South Korea, the French school was a very small community.
Yeah.
So you would have one class per year. So everyone would actually like know each other. And then I got in France and I was in this big public high school where you had 15 classes per year. So it was really like a huge community, and at first it was a bit difficult because I don't know, like I was just the only one that had the experience of
the
living
background.
Abroad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I was like introducing myself to people, I would tell them that I used to live in South Korea, and they would be like, oh cool, but I could sense that they didn't really understand what it means and what really like it was like to live abroad.
Yeah.
But then like I got kind of lucky because so the two friends that I decided to found for who I decided to go to this high school, they introduced me to their group of friends, and like they became like my group of friends.
Yeah.
And so yeah, so it was like very cool.
Your team.
And my team, and then it got okay. But at the same time, sometimes I would feel that I would be with people that didn't see the world as I was
picturing
it. And also, there was this kind of like gap between like, I remember all the racist jokes, the comments about the Asian, like, oh, you know, they're
like, yeah, those
like kids do, like,
dark
jokes, they're all yellow and everything. And I was like, no, it's so different. Like, a Korean China, Japan, like
they are three different countries. Yeah.
So I was a bit shocked, and it's how in this situation that I actually like measure how far I changed, how far like my picturing the world like got big.
Yeah.
And anyway, but it was funny though. Like I was correcting them like all the time.
Yeah.
Like, no, like
that's
you can't
cool.
say that and everything. And yeah, so after like I decided like to do like a foundation year for business school.
Oh, that's what I did as well.
Yeah. So typical French, right?
Yeah.
And so yeah, so I got it was hard but very stimulating at the same time. So I actually like liked it. Even
and
if,
you were in France.
Yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I stayed in the same public high school. There was like a foundation class.
Okay.
And then I decided, like, so I got the exams, passed everything, and I decided to go to Bordeaux to study there because I didn't want to stay in Paris because I was feeling like that I had the opportunity before of discovering new places of the world, new countries, but I was very unfamiliar with my own country.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, I decided, like, I was like, okay, let's go to Bordeaux. And
what kind of school was it?
A business school.
A business school, yeah.
Because at the time I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, but
and in France it's like when you don't know you either study law or
business
school.
Yeah, and I was like my parents kind of pushed me a little bit because it's what they did.
Yeah,
but
and it's kind of broad as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was just like the box of tools that then are going to enable you to pursue the career that you want, and because it's a very large sector of what you can study and what you can do, so it was actually like a good fit for me. And yeah, studying in Bordeaux was cool. And then I got this. So
how was it different from Paris?
Well, it's the first time that I actually had the opportunity to meet people, French people that were not from Paris. Like I was meeting like people
arrogant.
From.
No,
I don't know. Like nobody like. It's like in France, it's very weird because like if you are outside of Paris, like, well, everyone pretty hate Paris. Everyone like see Parisian as snob, posh people, arrogant and everything. And sometimes
when you're inside, like when you are part of the Parisian.
Yeah, sometimes I can agree with that because I do feel like sometimes Parisian are a bit snob, maybe, I don't know. It's also because Paris, well, you got all this economic and cultural scene, so people like are just like not in the same world as in Bordeaux and other cities. And but yeah, it was harsh. Like you know, you just meet people, introduce yourself, and you say, oh, I'm from Paris, and people are like, oh wow, okay Paris sucks.
They put you in the box of
and you're
like Parisian.
What the you're like, okay. Have you ever been to Paris? And they're like, no. And it's like
what do you mean?
Yeah, you're just like telling something that maybe you overheard or but no, it was I like it. Like I got to discover all this like regions in France, people from the southwest, which are they really have like a strong local culture.
So
that was nice. I
liked
it.
How long did you like? You spent 3 years there.
Two years, and then you have like this kind of like gap year when you can like do internship. You can like design it
the
way you want. I decided to do two internships because it's like
good 6 months and
it's like good opportunity to actually like
get your experience.
Yeah, and so I did the first one in Paris and music industry.
Why the music industry?
because I liked. I always liked marketing, communication. My mom used to work in marketing, so she was always telling me about what she was doing. And so I got hooked by it. And I love the idea of making something and then designing the way of how you're going to share the good news to the world, how you're going to promote something.
I like the good news.
How you're going to promote something, connect people.
Yeah.
And but at the time when you study marketing in business school, not the only industries, but the main industries which school have connection with are the big, like, either like luxury brands or like big consumption brands, corporate groups.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really feeling like passionate about that. I don't know, like, I was like, yeah, it can be interesting, but I'm not sure it's really gonna be a good fit for me. So it's not really that, like, interesting, but just like, yeah, someday I really had like the eureka situation. I was like, okay, I have to find an internship, what I'm gonna do. And then I was like, okay, so I like marketing, communication, advertising, I like music. So how about...
Let's combine everything together.
How about finding out how you do marketing in the music industry? And I was starting like, big idea, woo! World crisis solved, right? And then I just like started like to apply. And I got my first internship by applying. And so I started like the first 6 months internship of my life by working for Warner Music France and working in the
media.
That's
like a corporate.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But in the music industry, like, it's not.
You have like big actors.
Yeah, but it's not a big like industry. Like, you don't have. I think in France, if you only like take the people that work in music label and majors, that should be around like, I don't know, like 3,000 persons. Like, it's not a big industry. Yeah. But if you take in account also the agencies, the touring agencies,
the different departments,
then like it's getting bigger. But yeah, so I started like work there. I was a media buying assistant and I was working with the advertising chief.
Yeah.
Who was a woman, actually.
Ooh.
And I mean, it was crazy. Like, it was like...
Was it a good school?
It was like, I really got lucky because, I mean, so she was my mentor and she decided to give me a chance when
she was
clearly,
basically your first boss.
Yeah. And clearly when I had like zero experience and stuff, but I
she
kind of managed
you,
to communicate my passion for music and the way that I wanted to be rigorous and learn things. And so she decided to trust me on that, and that worked. And yeah, she was very, like, rigorous. She was amazing. I mean, she is, like, I keep saying was, but she's not dead. She is amazing because, yeah, she, music industry is a bit of, like, sexist
harsh.
Industry
and
harsh. And she, at the time, she was, like, the top three of the French antenna of Warner Music. And I mean, what she did before.
So you scored.
Yeah, I kind of did. Yeah, it was
first internship,
I had my own office.
Oh!
Just next to hers. Like, I was like, yeah. I really. So, no, it was a very
cool.
Good first experience. But also, it was really, like, funny and interesting to see how this industry is shaped and learning about how the music market, well, is doing, like, got there, because there were like so many changes. So I did that for 6 months. Then I decided to go to London because all my family was living there. So I did a second internship in advertising, and it was like a crazy experience. Like, first I got in London and was a bit lost because, I didn't have all my friends. I was in a new city using a language that really,
it's
like,
not your mother tongue.
No, it's not my mother tongue. And speaking English and working in English,
working in English is hard because you need to have like the vocabulary to be taken seriously.
And you need to have like all the cultural references and how they do business is a bit different,
especially in advertising.
Yeah,
like, it's really important. So how did you
I just like studied hard. Like, I was like working for a German advertising agency which just decided to launch a UK office. So the UK office like was 1 year, like,
So it was very new,
kind of like startup thing, because we were only like 15, and on the 15 person, like, 2 person only were English. The other ones were from different countries in Europe or from the United States.
Okay.
So it was
really
very international, diverse, and I mean, it was, yeah, I mean, it was hard because, so basically, the advertising market is very competitive, especially in the UK, and you're selling advertising, so you're selling something that you can't really touch or see.
You're selling ideas.
Yeah, you're selling ideas and something that is very, like, abstract.
Yeah.
And you have to convince someone to invest, I don't know, like, yeah, a grand or, like, a minimum, like, yeah, £1,000 or more, so they can improve their awareness or communicate, but they can't really, like, they have to trust you, basically.
Yeah.
So
you can't really, like, pitch, like, set results. Like,
yeah, well, you can show them, like, what we were doing in business meetings. So we had this, like, little presentation of the clients that we were working with and also, like, the past campaigns that we did, but it's only figures. Like,
yeah, and
it doesn't guarantee that it's going to work the same.
Exactly, you can't, like, anticipate the results. Like,
and I think that, of course, like, you always have, like, certain KPIs and you want a return on investment, but a lot of people, and I also like see that in my work today, they think that by investing in advertising, it's going to boost, it's going to bring, like,
a major
boost to sales. And sometimes it happens, but sometimes also people just don't click on the ad. They see it and maybe then they're going to buy your product in another way. But people rarely click.
It's not really.
And the fact that
it's
also
not a fair translation.
Yeah, like, and also at the time, everyone was also downloading Adblock, so it's like a setup program on your computer that, like, you download it and then it mutes completely the ad. Yes. And yeah, I mean, it's a tough crowd because you have to be able to just be there in front of the customer who is already, like, completely, like, overwhelmed with advertising all the day. On every, like, format, like desktop, mobile, newspaper, like, we are, like, just bombarded with advertising. So you have to find the right tone, the good creative. But anyway, but no, it was interesting also to see how you can develop a business.
Yeah.
So, and I was kind of not agreeing with how they wanted to do it. Yeah, because for them, it was more about reaching out to anyone that would be interested by advertising. But, and I forgot to mention, but it was video advertising.
Okay.
So that's a bit more specific, only online.
Yeah.
And for me,
it was digital.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, we kind of should have done it in the other way. It's not okay, let's reach out to anyone in the UK, to every companies in the UK. For me, it's more like, okay,
target, like, an industry.
Target efficiently, like, who is going to be interested, because it doesn't make sense for certain industries to invest in video advertising regarding their product or the consumers or the way they are selling their products. So I was, like, more for qualitative reach rather than a quantitative. But so we had, like, daily talks about what we could do. I also did a bit of PR to raise the awareness of the agency, but we didn't really have, like, inner marketing tools, because because also, like, they were very focusing on having clients, so of course it's the first argument that you're gonna, like, present when you meet new business. But for me, it's also, how about you develop the brand? What is the story behind the agency? Why did it happen? And that, it was not really one of their first concern at the time. So I tried, like, to do a bit of PR, but it was amazing because I learned so much.
Yeah.
Like, I just would, like, found, like, articles, resources. I went to,
that's,
like,
that's cool, because you took, like, initiatives to do that.
I tried, I tried, and I was encouraged to do it. Like, I liked the fact that they were, like,
they were
very
listening
open.
To you, even though you weren't
even open. If it was not really working, like, getting clients, the way they manage, the way I was managed was new, and it was more like putting the focus on what you can do, what can you bring to the table, and that's it.
Your suggestions.
Yeah, and that was, like, a very good management, I think, because it empowers, like,
you have a voice. Like,
it empowers the person, even if I was a bit junior intern, but
yeah, but that's the
it
thing,
was
it's
cool.
Crazy.
Like, I wasn't, like, part of the decision-making team, but I could see, because we were like a very small team, I could see what was applied and everything. But no, it was cool. Okay. It was nice. And then, yeah, I got to discover London, improve my English. And yeah, it was a hell of a trip.
How was it? How was like London for you during those times?
Big. Yeah. No, but I mean,
because you are coming from Paris. Yeah. So, you know, it's also like a big city.
London yeah, is but bigger, London's but bigger and
the vibe more, is totally different.
So different. It was actually like, well, I was feeling and seeing different things. I think the first thing I felt by walking in London is how people don't judge the way you yeah. are dressed compared to Paris.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I just remember that I was feeling
comfortable,
completely comfortable with myself. I was feeling like I have more freedom in yeah. London than in Paris.
You were a bit carefree.
Yeah, totally. And that felt good.
Yeah.
That felt really good, actually, like to, and also to witness that people are not really preoccupied by what you did as a school, or
yeah.
they are more like focused on your story, your skills, and where you want to go, and motivation. Ideas. And that's a huge, that was a huge difference with how French do business.
Yes.
And I mean, after, like, it depends on the companies and like and yeah, the management they want to yeah. pursue, but still, it was a big change. No, but it was very exciting. Like, I loved it because I kind of, when I was living in London, I kind of, like, found back some feelings that I had when I was feeling in South Korea. So be part of a big international cities. And, yeah, you have this, like, massive crowd key, which is made of, like, different people and international people. That yeah. I didn't get to have that in Paris. Yeah. Even if I know that you have international in Paris, like, you don't meet them.
But yeah, it's like, if you don't belong to that scene, you can't be really like part of it.
And also one thing that was very interesting is that in London, because you have a lot of persons that arrive to London to build their life, pursue their dreams, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But everyone is kind of very welcoming and open.
Yeah.
They
are willing to talk to you, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In France, it's not the same at all.
I think it's not the same. It's just that French people socialize in a very different manner than
yeah.
here. And it's more for me like, like here in London, like, people are very welcome. They're gonna ask you questions. So where are you from? Why are you here?
Yeah.
And but then, like, so you meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
But then, like, kind of managing to nurture and build a relationship and get intimate is a bit more difficult than I felt in France.
Yeah.
Because in France, like, so French people, they don't talk to you. I mean, no, sometimes they are very welcoming, but they're not going to bombard you with questions.
Yeah.
But once that they want to do it and they want to be open, then it can go really fast.
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
can get intimate with them really fast. But yeah, I mean, bottom end, it really depends also on the
yeah.
person. But yeah. No, but it was cool. Like,
yeah.
I got to learn how to be okay with myself and just trust me and...
Yeah.
And
so with your experience with, like, the girl that were, like, mean to you in,
yeah.
like, high school, middle school, and then Korea, and when you came back, you were, like, a bit lost, like, who I am.
Well, like, I think, like, yeah, I was, even, like, in Bordeaux and afterwards in Paris, I was always not putting on a mask, but
yeah.
I felt that I was, like, hanging out with that group of friends, and I had the same feelings that I had when I was a kid. Like, I really wanted to belong. I really wanted to be loved and appreciated by everyone. So sometimes, and I realized that years after,
yeah.
I was actually, like, ready to compromise myself
yeah.
just to be in the good grace of these persons. And, yeah, I was a bit blind, I think. Like, I wasn't really realizing that maybe we were not in the same vibe, maybe
yeah.
they were not really for me, but at that time it was still, like, very
yeah.
important to belong and to be yeah to
yeah.
be with them. And in London, because I wasn't hanging out with this group of friends, I realized that actually, like, they were not so important for me, and that we yeah they were just I mean
so, yeah
I was not, like, hating them, like, from one day on.
You just, like,
I took
that
a distance.
Spark of realization,
yeah, I was just like, but it's not yourself. You're not yourself. Yeah. They don't understand. They don't see you as the full person that you are, and they are not celebrating that. So
yeah.
You can still see them because, yeah, we had some memories. You did a part of your story.
But you don't have the kind of relationship that you're looking for in like proper friends.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's more like. Yeah, it's more like relative or...
Yeah.
So if I see them now, I still see them because, yeah, I still like them. But
yeah.
I'm not trying to fit in. I'm not counting on seeing them all the time. And it's just I know that we share a bunch of common interests. But that's it.
That's
like,
it
doesn't go...
Yeah. There's no, like, emotional...
Yeah, attachment or anything, yeah.
Okay.
London, it was very a good lesson.
That's when you realized that maybe it's not your...
Yeah, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but that, like, actually, like, that took me years to realize it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a very optimistic and enthusiastic
person. Yeah, and you're still,
person.
You're, like, with the experiences that you had, you were growing.
Yeah.
So...
But I would always, like, so I'm very, like, enthusiastic, optimistic, so I always try to find a solution. And I always try to connect with people. I'm always trying. And for a month, I actually realized that, I mean, I wasn't understanding why it didn't work. Why could we get more intimate? Why the relationship was like stopping at this point? And I thought that it was because I wasn't trying too hard. And then I realized that it was not me, it was them. They were not interested in me as I was in them. And and so the connection could not go further.
It's not a two-way.
Yeah, it was not 50-50. Yeah. And so I just like stopped and I was like, okay, you tried. You tried, but just, it's
you
not
failed.
Your fault. No, yeah. No, you don't. No, but it really took me months to accept that we were never going to be friends as I wanted to be.
As you pictured it.
Yeah,
like,
as I pictured it. But it was still okay, but... I just might like step down and be like, okay, it's fine, Josephine. Like, just, and this is something that I really see now. Like, I really like managed
to. You took a step back.
Right? Yeah, to identify then who are the good people for you, and how it is important to surround you with people that are going to be able to elevate you.
Yeah.
That's true. But that's, I mean, that's funny because that's something that no one is really like telling you how to do.
Yeah.
So you have to find it on your own. And
you were in between like London and Paris as well. So it must have been hard to like handle all those like.
Yeah, a bit. The word struggle would be a bit high, maybe.
Yeah.
A bit too much. But it's true that I always had difficulties juggling between the girl that is French, so grew up in Paris and stuff, and the part of me that grew up abroad, that speak English, that thinks in English, that is aware of an international culture, and how I can combine these two persons, like how I can combine these two sides of my personalities. And right now, that's why I want to go back to London, because I'm in Paris now, it's been 2 years. And I decided to go back to Paris because,
you were finishing your studies.
Yeah, I wanted to be close to my friends, relative, family, and to my roots also. But I knew back then that if I was going back to Paris, that I kind of was putting the international Joe in the closet.
Yeah, like you took a step back.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, are you fine with that? I was like, okay, I'm fine with that. But... like, it's been, like, what, since the beginning of the year, like, this Joe, like, she's, like...
She's, like,
banging on the door, and she's, like, okay, no, now it's my turn, now I want to go back.
Free
where,
me.
Yeah, now I want to go back to a place where we can speak English, where you can be complete. Actually.
Like, yeah. Okay, that's crazy.
But, yeah, and it's... Yeah, I mean, you don't meet a lot of people that, I mean, no, when you travel, when you live in a city like London, you actually like meet people that have to combine.
Because you arrived in London for that internship by, like, with your family.
Yeah.
But you didn't know
anybody.
Anyone.
Yeah. I just had my sister.
Yeah.
And a couple of friends that were also there, but it was more like friends because we were in the same city rather than, but it was good though.
Yeah.
But yeah, but also the fact that, yeah, I didn't really have a lot of friends, I also, like, got to spend a lot of time with myself. And, like, just that be able to be there for yourself and be alone. And it's not a bad thing. Yeah. And now I really think that it's important to learn how to be with yourself.
So those, like, 6 months of internships, like, were, like, a huge, they were like a huge period where you just realized that
it made me stronger, like, really, like, really, then I was more feeling, like, comfortable with myself. I was just better.
And so when you got back in Paris, to Paris, you finished your studies and you, like, got that job, like,
no
right away?
So I actually I went back to Bordeaux to finish, to just study, like, 4 months. And then at the beginning of 2017, I went to the Philippines because it was the end of, like, my Erasmus. It was my exchange student, like, 6 months. And then the year was complete and I could go and get graduation.
And you went to the Philippines?
Yeah.
Adventures again.
Yeah, no, because so you are judged on your exams, and in first year, well, I didn't really got so many, like, good grades, but because my English was very good, I had a very large spectrum of destination. Because I was at the bottom of the ranking, so it was either, like, go to the Philippines or India or China or other, like, European countries, and I really wanted to go back to Asia, so I decided to go to the Philippines because I was unaware of this country, its people, its culture, and I went there alone. But I actually, like, met French people the second I got there. So I wasn't alone, but on the same.
Were you scared? Like, because that's a huge decision.
I wasn't
to go
scared.
By yourself.
It's just funny because you, before leaving, you keep trying to picture how your life is going to be, what things are going to look like, and it's, but you don't know, you have no clue. Yeah. So that's very funny because then you get there and, well, it's not a big deal. You're just in another country. People are also living their life and trying to be happy. So
they can help you.
But no, it was, so I spent 4 months there. And it was really interesting, like, to study in a local college, to meet all the people that are in the Philippines, and to travel. And no, it was cool, really cool. It also, like, another, like, period of my life where I really had the time to think.
Yeah.
When you're abroad, you really have the time to think about friends, about your relationship with friends. Who are
you're pushing your
true
boundaries,
friends? Yeah, exactly. What do you really like to do? It's very a good experience.
Getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, but I would really recommend it, like, to anyone. Like,
yeah,
just go abroad. It's going to teach you so many things about yourself.
And even, like, in London or in Bordeaux or in the Philippines, did you, like, met someone that really, like, brought something to you? Like,
yeah, always. I think people are like experiences, like, you, they always have, so that's one thing that my dad told me, because, like, I don't remember why I was telling him this story, but basically I was, like, telling him, like, a day I had at work or others, and I was just telling him that people were boring and not interesting. And
so you had a bad day.
Clearly, that was it. So I had a bad day, and it was like, oh, dad, and it was like, oh, hi, sweetheart, like, how was your day? And I was like, oh, it was so
boring. I hate everyone.
People are so not interesting, they're so not curious, they're so boring. And it was like, But you know what? They always have to tell, to learn you something. Like people, even if you think yeah. that they are boring, well, you just have to dig them up a bit. Everyone has a hobby. Everyone has an interest in something. So just...
You just have to dig in.
Yeah, just think that... Think on the contrary. Everyone yeah. is interesting. Yeah, think yeah. that way.
It's like a mindset. You yeah. need to like have that shift where...
So no, but yeah, I met like extraordinary people, people that became friends. Yeah. And but yeah, even the group of person I was telling you before.
Yeah.
Even then, like, they taught me something about me, that people always are teaching you something.
Yeah. And so when you went back to Paris after the Philippines?
Yeah. Yeah, so I decided to go back to Paris. I had the opportunity to do a last internship. So I decided that I wanted to go back to the music industry. So I applied and I got in Sony Music France. And I really wanted to see how it was like to work in a label with artists. Because before, even if I was working in a music major, I wasn't working directly with artists. Like I was yeah. like designing the advertising campaigns.
But you weren't like talking.
Yeah, it was not the same team. Yeah. And then I got an internship at Columbia, which is a big label
yeah.
of Sony Music. And it was like very good experience. It was a very good experience, like to see how a label works, but also fascinating to see how, yeah, so how this industry is shaped. And well,
did you get like some disappointments as well on like the idea that you pictured
in your life? I did, because the music industry is a tough crowd, like,
yeah.
So basically, when the internet arrived in the early at the end of the 90s, just the market like completely
shifted.
Yeah. Nobody was buying CDs anymore, and nobody was expecting that. So actually, it was horrific. Like some label had to close. A lot of people got fired, lost their job.
Yeah.
And right now, like it's been like 4 years now, but with streaming incomes,
it's the same.
The market is now starting to increase again, even if in terms of revenues it's still like minor to what it was in the 90s, in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting better. But it's just that today it's a tough crowd, because people consume music in different aspects, like, so they can do streaming, they can buy CDs, they can buy vinyls. Artists, well, they don't need a label, like they can do their music post in their videos, room, yeah, post yeah. their video on YouTube or on Spotify,
SoundCloud, yeah.
So they don't need you at the same time, yeah. But
it's always good to have a manager.
no, but it really depends as an artist if you want, it depends what your goals are. If you yeah. want to have like an international career, do you want to be a mainstream
the local
artist?
Singer at the
do
pub?
do you just want to be the local singer at the pub? So for each, it's like clients, like for yeah. each client, you have a plan and you have a solution.
For some people, it's just a hobby to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you want, it's true that if you want to, at some points, like take it to another level, then working with a label is good, because you can have like sales team that are going to push your album to the local distributors. You have like digital marketing teams. You have a lot of people that are working on your content and trying to grow it. So that's good. And I think it's important to say that, because I feel like sometimes people have very bad image of the music industry, like
yeah.
it's like, oh, the music industry are all like,
they just want money.
Yeah, they just want money. Like, they don't care, and it's not true. I'm not gonna lie and say that. Yeah, there are some people that are only focused on profits, but you have those people like everywhere
that are passionate about music.
But you also have people that are passionate about just getting this artist to
the stage
and distribute its music and grow the project, and it's also like an industry where you have to be passionate, because the salaries are not that high and you don't have a lot of like job openings, so it's a tough crowd.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, like it's I like it. I do like it. It's tougher maybe than I thought it would
be. Yeah. And the atmosphere, like in Colombia, what must have been?
Well, right? The atmosphere, yeah, I mean, it was good. Like it's
being
just
part of that team.
Like, yeah, no, it was good. Like I had the chance to like work with people that wanted to trust me, and like even if I was able to do a specific task, they would always like kind of invite me to certain types of meetings, but I would also like step up for myself
yeah.
and invite myself in certain types
Ooh.
Of meetings.
Because
when you are an intern in a big group, you are being in a box, you know, and you do stuff that are not very interesting, but administrative stuff, but that needs to be done. And it's by proving that you can manage that very well, then you can like do other
things.
So, I was trying like getting the more I could to during this experience. But the industry, it's a bridge between an older generation that was very successful with CDs that had to unlearn all the way they were
selling music
before, getting to know all the aspects of digital marketing, social networks, and for people that are like 50 or 60, it can be, I think, a bit overwhelming and a bit difficult to see like younger people arrive that are all already mastering. But I think it's like more a generational thing, and it's happening. But no, it's a sexist industry. Like you don't have a lot of women that are like directors or CEO of music companies. But that's also a common thing in the society.
Have you ever experienced like something at work, like during your internship?
Not me, but I noticed some. Yeah, some by hearing some things or having like other women like tell their story, I witnessed some habits.
Okay.
I met some women who actually like stuff happened to them in the industry. Me, no, never. But I sometimes I could feel like that because I was a girl. Well,
you didn't get the same treatment.
Yeah, I didn't get the same treatment. Because, like, just, like, this, like, big, like, men directors, they just think, you're the pretty girl that likes music. Oh, that's cute. And, like, I'm here, like, actually, I want to learn things.
I want to work, and I'm going to take your job.
Yeah, maybe. No, but I think it's also something that you don't really measure. But if you walk into a meeting room, and there are only men around you, it's not the same thing as walking into a meeting room where you have half woman, half men, or 100% woman. Just something on the mind. I felt like sometimes I wasn't feeling very empowered with myself and trusted myself. Maybe because, I don't know, like I wasn't like,
they were just like
taking
all the space.
Yeah, because men are like that. They talk loudly. They just go in to promote their ideas. But it's more like I think related to like work stuff, which is also for me something that nobody is telling you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just study how a company works, what you can do, how marketing is working with finance, blah blah blah. But nobody is really like teaching you what are the good habits, like how to be political, how to promote your work and everything. That's really hard also to learn on yourself, because I used to think that if I was working well, I was going to be rewarded. But it doesn't work like that. Your performance is just not enough. You also have to be a good communicator, to remind people of what you did, to show interest, like to be political. You learn how to be political. And because, people, like, they don't really know.
It's not like your first nature, must be. Like,
it can be hard, but I'm running right now. And because hopefully today, when you have a problem, you can find help, especially online. You have a lot of like blogs, podcasts of women and people like sharing their tips. But it's just,
in practice, it's different, though.
Well, you have to be very committed to that. You have to be ready to take the extra lens to just prove to everyone that you're here, you want to do stuff, you can be trusted. But that's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot, and that can be really tough because sometimes you see persons that they got a promotion, but they're not so doing well. But because they are very like socially intelligent, like mm-hmm. they manage to be in the spot.
Yeah.
But more for their habits and like how they are perceived by others rather than their work. So yeah, you have to stick up for yourself definitely.
And so, in comparison, like during that internship and your work, like your mm-hmm. job now,
yeah,
you're more like, do you get like a bit more tough,
like yeah. around the edges? Oh yeah, I got like more comfortable with myself, like, and also like before I was a bit shy. Like the truth is, I didn't really know when I started like my first internship, I didn't know how to act.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know if I had to be. Do I need to be friends with my boss? Do I have
the
to be friendly?
Yeah,
but we're
and
not
you have
friends.
The hierarchy as well. Yeah, but
also,
in front, it's
oh
like
God, so hard.
You need to respect that.
So all stuff.
So you never know how to act.
Yeah, and at the same time, like okay, it's not because like you are like what my top chief or because
yeah.
you are older or in a position that
yeah.
is like higher in the hierarchy that I have to be extra nice and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a dick, you're a dick. Like, you know? No, but I see that a lot.
That's
like,
it,
yeah. I see like people that because they are above you, they are expecting you to be all nice
yes,
and available.
And follow what they are saying.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
and for me,
things.
It doesn't work that way. Like it works with values like respect,
yeah.
politeness and that's how like relationship it works
yeah.
should be.
And now you know like you know the industry like well enough, so
mm-hmm.
you can just like make your own decision and you
yeah.
have the position as well.
Yeah.
So it's like because you build
it's
that experience and
up.
That knowledge,
mm-hmm.
you can just like be more like step up for yourself.
Yeah, no, it's getting bigger. It's better. It's getting better, sure. But I don't know, like it's just I didn't think when I was a kid or during my studies that work was so human.
Mm-hmm.
It
yeah,
so
yeah,
depends
yeah.
on the person that you were working with, the environment,
the, team, yeah.
the vision behind the company and the goals. And yeah, you have like so many criteria, which
yeah.
is like absolutely like fascinating
yeah.
to find like exactly. So what for you is working the best? What do you prefer?
Yeah.
What do you need? What do you aspire to? But at the same time, that it's one hell of a
study,
challenge.
Like
you don't see that.
Yeah.
Like, they're not telling you. No, you just like, yeah, you study. So
yeah.
it's just theoretical. And
then you'll see.
Yeah.
Just wait for it.
Yeah. yeah. But, that's a lot to take in. But at the same time, it's like it's fascinating, I think, because you can do whatever you want. You just have to take a step back and ask, what are your dreams? I realized that, like, I don't know, like 2 months ago, I was like, oh my God,
you had an
I don't have dreams anymore. And I
yeah,
was like,
but that's the thing, because you've been working for 2 years in the same company.
Yeah.
Did you got promoted?
No,
during those 2 years?
I started as, I had like a 6 month contract.
Yeah.
And then they offered me like a full time position.
Okay.
And I got a little raise last year, so that was good, even if it's like
yeah.
minus, but it's always that, right?
Yeah.
it's always that. No, but it's just like, I just feel like today I kind of like master all the things that I could learn in this
yeah.
job, and it's because it's also, it's a tough job because you don't have a lot of budgets, your products you don't manufacture a lot of units, so your margin are like not very high, but on the year you manage to achieve the revenue goal that we decided because we have a lot of products
yeah.
but at some point it's just too hard, so you have just too many like breaks, like you don't have budget, you're gonna sell nothing.
Yeah.
You're not gonna earn a lot of money. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's just not inspiring
like,
anymore.
Okay, so what's left?
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. No, but after that, you have like the people in the company I work with are very nice. There is a very good environment,
yeah.
and it's like we are an independent label, so
yeah.
it's like a big family and. And yeah, and rather than be focused on the performance of my work, which I try at least to do it well, I also find it interesting to learn how to manage the two interns we are working with.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, just be in a daily reflection about what makes work interesting. Like,
yeah.
Is it the way you communicate?
Yeah.
Is it the way you communicate to people? Is it okay, maybe today, do you prefer to have meetings? Do you prefer to work alone? Do you prefer to use the telephone rather than the email?
Yeah.
And all that, you know, small stuff
different
that
details,
makes the
yeah.
day. And you got to see, like, then...
To build, like, a work environment that
mm-hmm.
is that suits everyone.
And management
yeah.
and how you want to be treated. So, no, they're, like, still... There are, like, hopefully, like, a lot of, like,
yeah.
interesting things to learn. But now, yeah, I'm very considering, like, leaving, especially, like, my goal, like, to leave next year.
Your goal. Yeah.
And find a new job in London, start a new experience, and continue to grow and learn things, and, yeah.
Yeah.
Just embark on a new adventure.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Always.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
And, but how do you feel about the music industry now, since all those, like, this internship and... your job,
well,
because you've been in you worked in Colombia, but also like the independent
yeah.
level that you're
yeah.
working in right now. How are you still passionate? Like,
yes, I am. I think I am, because, well, bottom line, it's still music. Like, it's still like people that are creating music in their room that
mm-hmm.
have like amazing stories and that can like convey so much emotion and that can. I mean, music is amazing. Like, it's one of the human creation that I found really amazing. Like, it's
yeah.
universal and connects people. And so we need music in our life.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm still, like, passionate about this industry. And I think, actually, that right now is a very interesting time because you have a lot of different
tools.
All
yeah.
the data. So how do you treat data from streaming? So you have a lot of, like, new marketing tools. You can see in real life if the audience is responding or not through social networks. You have a lot of different ways to... launch an album or an EP. Do you want to do it only on physical, digital? Do you want to do a clip? You can do so many things. You just have, I think, to find the good project, the good team of people that have a vision, what you want to bring to the artist, what you can do for them, how you can then help them grow. And yeah, I'm still, like, passionate about
yeah.
it. I want to continue working in the music industry for a couple of years and then maybe in 10 or 15 years, maybe do something completely different.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm like, yeah, sometimes because right now I'm considering, like, leaving my job and finding another one, I'm sometimes feeling like, oh, maybe I should, like, do something completely different. And at the same time, because, yeah, music industry... it's a tough place, salaries are not that high.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm like, no, like, fuck no. Like, it's, you want to do it, you're passionate, you have talents, it's just, you have to make your own way and
yeah.
you're not going to give up on that now at 25. Because if you are giving up on that, then what can you do? And you're always going to have regrets. So just
yeah.
either, like, try to do it. And we'll
see
what happens.
There are bad days, but the best days, like, last forever
yeah.
in your mind.
Yeah, so much. But, no, yeah, I think, and today also, what is really interesting is that because artists don't need labels, it's kind of redefining, like, the power position between artists and labels. So you actually, like, have multiple ways of, yeah, producing music, working music, marketing a project. You can choose to focus on a specific audience niche. You can choose to focus. There are so many different musics, so many, like, different new artists that comes, like, up every week. So
yeah,
it's a tough crowd, but it's moving and it's interesting.
And you want to be
and,
part of it.
Yeah, and what is also, like, exciting is that maybe in a few years, when streaming is gone to plateau and we're going
yeah.
to see how actually, like, it really affects all the different, like, revenue income strategies, is to find and build, like, sustainable business model, like for the music industry. Yeah. But it's also tough because you have all these different actors.
Like you can't, it's really hard to anticipate what is coming. So to build like and strategize a business plan, it's like
It's interesting because you have big move right now. So Spotify is the leader on the streaming market.
I love Spotify.
But how are gonna, and what is funny is that at their last quarter, they actually made profits. Which is, it doesn't happen all the time with Spotify and a lot of like streaming companies that are not profitable.
Yeah.
And they made profit based on the rise, if I'm not mistaken, of their premium subscription. So it's not a rise of revenue based on, I don't know, like ad free advertising or like premium membership. It's on the premium membership. So streaming is starting to plateau. It's everyone is doing streaming. Spotify is number one, but then you still have Amazon, Apple, who are like getting ready to like take the long run. Yeah. Deezer, a French actor, which is still here.
Yeah.
But how is it going to evolve? Like, and you have a lot of different actors also. It's and also in the music industry right now, you have the live industry is getting bigger and bigger. Like, you have more and more festivals. People are, I think, our generation, which is like less focused on buying like material things. We prefer, I think, like experiences.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the live industry is getting bigger. So you have all this like change, and it's for the best, I think. Yeah. But also today, as an artist, like it's really difficult to earn money from streaming. If you don't have a lot of like listeners, well, it can take years, and it's still like something that you can't live with. So how do you find a streaming business model that is like fair to everyone?
Exactly. Yeah. That's like,
And also streaming, I think, has some bad consequences on the way people consume music. Like, for example, you don't buy CDs anymore, so you don't have the object, you don't you don't get to see all the credits. Like now Spotify and Deezer, like they all enable, like I think it was like a year or 2 years ago, the features that you can see credits now on the songs.
Oh, okay.
You can see the producer, writer, but before, all this information you didn't have, and it's not something that you can touch, you know. So where is the, and it's only costing you £10 a month. So where is the value in all that? You know, people don't.
And it's unlimited.
Yeah, so like, people tend to think that it's music, it's free, it should be free, but it's not free. Like you have to, you have to like pay the people.
It's so expensive to produce it as well.
Yeah, you have to pay the team behind the artist. So, and people consume a lot of playlists, but so this they actually like listen a song 5 seconds, then they skip. So they are less paying attention to the artist, maybe. I don't know. You have all these new components of music consumption that we have to address. But I think also, yes, that's why it's also very interesting. And at the same time, it's like vinyl sales just got like really big, like over the last few years.
Like
even like
trend.
In the US, I think like for the last semester or trimester, the vinyl sales are actually going to be much more important than the CD sales for the first time in history. So yeah, you have all this, it's a lot on the plate, but it's interesting.
Yeah. And so, because it's been like more than an hour.
Already?
So I just have one last question.
Okay.
What would you wish to our listener, like if they were in the same position as you, as like they were in a transition of like, what would you tell them?
I would advise to, and I'm going to say that, and I have to like, I told that, I'm telling myself this every day, to just believe in yourself and in your skills, even if you can't see the door, even if there are not offers, you can make your own door, you can. But it's tough, but you just have to believe in yourself and your capabilities and in your dreams. And also, treat yourself in, I think, I mean, take care of yourself and take amount of time where you focus on what you want to achieve, and yeah, and you try to design new ways of getting to that goal, etc. Just taking the time to step back and ask what you really want to do. Have the courage to just face yourself, your fears, your dreams. So
breathe.
Yeah. Just breathe, and yeah, just take the time to step back, realize where you are right now, where you want to go, and just manage
just
to
go with it.
To design your own invention, go with it, and believe in yourself. But that's really hard. Like that's takes
it,
a lot.
It's
a
lot of commitment. Is it a say, but not to?
Is it a say, but every day you're like, okay.
I'm trying.
I think the last thing would be nice to yourself, because I don't do that anymore. But I used to. I still do it sometimes. I'm very like hard on myself.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's not happening because you didn't do that.
You put all the blame on you.
Yeah. And I'm like,
I should have done this and that.
Yeah.
But
And now I'm just like, stop. Okay, stop. You did what you need.
It is what it is.
Sure, you can improve. Sure, you can do more. You can do best. But just be cool with yourself.
Yeah.
It's okay not knowing. It's okay to be lost. It's okay to, just.
You're constantly learning. And it's with like, failures.
Yeah, and accepted that because whether like you're 25, 30, 40, 45, it's the same for everyone. Like we have this common, like, I don't know, like
conception,
feeling that you are the only one struggling and everyone seems okay.
Everyone is crying inside.
Yeah. No, nobody is okay. it's the same trip for everyone.
Yeah.
So you're not lost, and that's all right.
Well, okay. Thank you so much for coming here today.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
And for being my first guest.
I wish
you all the best for next year.
Yeah, well.
I hope you are coming tonight.
Yeah.
Because I would love to have you on another episode.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Keeping up with Joe.
Yeah. No, for sure. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you. It's actually like a very good exercise for me. I'm still like processing right now.
That's true.
All the best with
the next
episodes and the launching.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining this conversation. This podcast is powered by First Rate Shooters. Don't forget to leave a comment, share, and subscribe on the app that you're using. Make sure to follow us on Instagram as well so that you know what's coming next.